Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ty Cobb, former special assistant to President Reagan, will cover the world on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm Brad Seidner, and we're keeping the legacy alive here at the Reno Rodeo. Come be a part of the legacy.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Ty Cobb. We are taping this on June the 7th. For a broadcast at another time. Pleasure to have you back on the program, Ty. First thing I want to ask you about is North Korea. How much concern should we, especially in the Western United States, have about the state of North Korea?
Lots of concern. North Korea under Kim Jong-un is pursuing an very aggressive path in the development of long-range missiles that already can reach the Western United States. The accuracy may be in doubt, but if you have a nuclear warhead on board, that's not that critical. More importantly, they are miniaturizing nuclear warheads that can be mated onto a missile. They so far don't seem to have that capability. But the window of doing something about this program is probably not more than a year.
You know, it used to be that the United States would try to work with China. And China always had a concern that if they pushed North Korea too far and the regime collapsed, that there would be a flood of immigration into China from North Korea. But now we see the Russians getting involved. They're buying their coal and employing their workers.
Well, let's do the latter first. Russia has come in and is now selling some of their excess coal to North Korea. I think it's a small lifeline for a country that is desperately in need of fuel supplies, primarily coal, to sustain what little economy it has. China is far and away much more important, and China is worried about various scenarios, all of which are bad because, as you say, it means millions and millions of North Korean refugees pouring over the border into China.
One of the big problems that people point out is that the United States troops, if there were to be a war between North Korea and South Korea, that our troops would be sacrificed in the opening minutes of that war. Do you agree with that assessment?
Not entirely. We do have a number of our troops deployed close to the 38th parallel, and they would be part of the resistance against a North Korean attack, which is what primarily would be South Korea. But we do have, I think we're over 25,000 troops in South Korea, and if there was a conflict to break out, it would certainly involve American forces on the ground, and therefore the United States would be involved, whether it planned to or not.
And, you know, with the densely populated Seoul, this would be a terrible situation.
Well, Seoul is located so close to the border that if there were to be an attack for whatever reason, premeditated or in response to a nuclear strike that we might do, Seoul would be a city of 8 million would be immediately vulnerable to occupation. It's doubtful that the South Vietnamese have sufficient forces deployed along the parallel to repulse a determined North Korean ground attack.
Let's turn our attention to Qatar.
Yes.
An interesting development since President Trump went to Saudi Arabia and then on to Israel. Qatar is now, as we record
persona
this,
persona non grata.
and cut off. I mean, their very extensive airline is essentially grounded at this point in time because they have no place that they can fly because all the countries around them have not allowed them to use their airspace. And there's a run on food because most of the food comes from Saudi Arabia and that border is now blocked. What are your thoughts on where this is heading?
It's a very good question. Qatar is located along the sea, with Saudi Arabia being the most important large country nearby, but also the Emirates states, the Gulf states, and countries like Jordan and Israel not that far away. The newspaper reports have described Qatar's expulsion from the fold of the Sunni Arab states as due to their continued support of Muslim radicalism. It's not true. What has upset the Saudis and the others is that Qatar has been flirting with Iran, a Shiite country. And for that reason, not because of any support for radical Muslim activities, Saudi Arabia is leading the push to isolate Qatar and thereby cut off any communications with Tehran.
How does this get resolved? Because this has happened before.
Well, forms of this have happened before. Qatar has no friends now. Other than what little ties they have with the Ayatollah in Tehran. Qatar is isolated. The danger, Sam, is that if Iran were to intervene on behalf of Qatar because of some real or perceived aggression on the part of Saudi Arabia and the Sunni states in the Gulf area. There is no easy resolution to this one, but Qatar is isolated, and unless they get more fulsome support from Shia Iran, they were going to have to succumb to the dictates of Riyadh Saudis.
And what would succumbing be?
Well, primarily it will be no more flirting with Iran. Get back in the Sunni fold. You're part of the Gulf Cooperation Council, and you have to understand that, number one, our main enemy is Iran. Number two, we worry about Israel later.
The president, President Trump, talked about all these billions of dollars of contracts that were accomplished during his visit. But published reports since then have said that a lot of these things were actually in play during the Obama administration. And all of these things, especially the military weapons sales, have to go through the State Department to get approved. So how much of that was publicity rather than actuality?
Well, it was great publicity because, as you correctly said, while they finalized a number of agreements, they were either already underway from the Obama administration or proposed. But because of Trump's visit and the outcome of it, these arms sales have been accelerated and are quite large. So this is, and the arms will be bought from American manufacturers like Lockheed Martin and Boeing. So it's a windfall for these exporters of sophisticated aircraft and other armament systems.
What did you think about Rouhani being reelected in Iran?
Iran is right now, as it has been for years, badly split between devotees of the Ayatollah and very strict adherence to a Shia form of Muslim religion. However, the country is very well educated. It is a very moderate and prosperous middle class. Therefore, they have elected people that are not so extreme, such as Rouhani and others, as prime minister. So if you were to take a poll in Iran, which they have, overwhelmingly the populace is well-educated and leaning toward a more moderate stance and certainly don't support radical Shia steps taken internally or externally. However, real power now still resides with the Ayatollah and his clerics, as well as with the Revolutionary Guards, who are acting, continue to act as an extension of the Ayatollah's rule, as opposed to a representative of the Iranian populace.
All right, we're going to take a break. More with Ty Cobb, former advisor to President Reagan on foreign affairs. We'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ty Cobb. He's former special assistant to President Reagan for National Security Affairs. And by the way, congratulations on your honor from the University of Nevada. You, along with Don Carano, two very well-deserved honorees.
Thank you. Yeah, being up there with the Don, Mr. Carano, was quite an honor to receive that Distinguished Nevadan Award. Thank you, Sam.
And I think he probably felt exactly the same way about you. Both of you are Distinguished Nevadans.
Probably.
Let's talk about Rex Tillerson. He's on the road now. He's in New Zealand. And it was interesting in the last 24 hours, and once again, we're taping this on June the 7th.
Yeah.
Comments were made that if people want to know what's going on with foreign policy, they shouldn't necessarily listen to what's coming out of the State Department, but they should follow what's coming out of Donald Trump's tweets. What are your thoughts on that, and how does that work? You know, government has been thrown up in the air with this president, rightly or wrongly. I'm not saying either way, but you know, diplomacy is a very strict thing, and words and emphasis and breaths and commas all are important, and here it's all being thrown up in the air.
Quite so. I mean, the internal division is not new to this administration. You can remember with Carter, the big Brzezinski and Cy Vance, the Secretary of State.
Horrible fights between
horrible fights. In the Reagan administration, we had constant squabbles between Secretary of State George Shultz and Secretary of Defense Cap Weinbergers, which made it very difficult for whoever at the time was my boss, Colin Powell or Frank Carlucci or whomever, to adjudicate between them. Interesting division now, though, because the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis and Rex Tillerson, seem to be aligned, along with the National Security Advisor, General H.R. McMaster, to say, we have got to get some sanity in what we're doing. We need to develop a policy and enunciate it. However, the president continues to use social media at 3 o'clock in the morning, and his tweets totally upset what careful work the Secretary of Defense and Secretary of State have accomplished.
There were published reports recently that talk about, you know, the potential for these three fine generals to possibly resign.
Two are generals.
I'm sorry, yes, correct. And what would end up happening, you know, for our foreign policy if that were to occur?
We know that there are an extraordinary number of high-level appointments at State Department that have not been filled, and a couple at the White House. And there appears to be that the accomplished professionals, even those who lean toward Trump's view of the world, more isolationist, less willing to intervene abroad, work out something with the Russians, are hesitant to accept a position in this administration, knowing how dysfunctional it appears to be. is there going to be a resignation by General Mattis at Defense or Mr. Tillerson at State or even General McMaster in the White House? Likely. I think the three of them will probably deliver an ultimatum to the president through the Vice President Pence saying you simply cannot continue to upend all of our difficult work that we're doing to establish a coherent policy.
And if that were to occur, what would happen next? I mean, because we've seen, for example, with James Comey, that the president has nominated somebody who is, you know, a very solid choice to be the head of the FBI. Is it okay to just keep doing that if you have to? Although the New York Times is reporting that you really only get one shot at that, of firing an FBI director. You don't get to fire a second one.
Well, you could. We don't know a lot about the new director, you know, professional background, low-key, behind the scenes, probably what Trump wants. But we're going to have testimony by Director Comey, former Director Comey of the FBI, to the Senate regarding Russian attempts to interfere in our electoral process, perhaps on behalf of Donald Trump. And an FBI director will want to maintain independence from the president and will say, I am not going to respond to your directives. We are an independent investigative authority under the Justice Department. I don't see that ending well.
Let's take a break more with Ty Cobb, and he certainly knows his stuff here. We'll be right back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking with Ty Cobb, former Special Assistant to President Reagan for National Security Affairs. Jeff Sessions, it's been reported, has also told the president that he needs to back off and let him do his job.
Well, actually, what Sessions said, he recused himself from the investigations because he feels that he was involved in some way, perhaps inadvertently. And that really upset the president because he wanted his attorney general to be overseeing the investigation and keeping it under control. However, with Sessions stepping back and recusing himself, Trump is extremely upset because he feels he's lost an ally and a way to keep the FBI investigation within acceptable bounds.
What are your thoughts on Mike Pence and his position at this point in time?
Well, you know, we've seen this before with a number of vice presidents, Lyndon Johnson, with JFK, George H.W. Bush, even with President Reagan, because they have their own constituencies. Pence, however, is no Lyndon Johnson or George H.W. Bush in terms of the part of the electorate that he can sway. But I think given the polls and the increasing dissatisfaction exhibited about the president's performance to date, more and more people are saying, wouldn't a Pence presidency be a respite and allow us to take some breathing room and have some stability, no 3 a.m. in the morning tweets. So I think Pence has maintained loyalty to the president. There's no evidence of any air between them. However, he continues to take steps that portray him as above the fray, and I think he's becoming an increasingly attractive alternative.
But he would certainly lean the presidency, if that were to occur, to the towards the Christian right.
That's his background. You're quite correct. And there is no evidence that in the domestic policy that he would be much different from President Trump. More than likely, he would be considered a reliable ally in the re-support of NATO and our obligations under Article 5 of that treaty, which Trump has been very lukewarm about. And he would probably be more prone toward intervention, as we are in the Middle East, Iran, and Afghanistan and Syria and that area, than President Trump, who has shown serious doubts about the wisdom of our traditional interventionist policies.
Let me ask you about that. We've got a couple of minutes left here. What at this point in time, is the benefit to the United States of sending more troops to Afghanistan? What is the win there for the United States?
There is no win there.
So you would say
it's
a
quagmire. We're there with a sufficient amount of forces to perpetuate a stalemate. Now we're going to reinforce what we have to allow us to perpetuate the existing status quo. We do not have sufficient forces in Afghanistan to defeat any combination of enemies, which are primarily aligned with radical Sunni groups like al-Qaeda. And there doesn't seem to be an appetite, understandably so, for intervening on a scale that would allow us to sufficiently influence the direction of affairs in Afghanistan.
So would you send additional troops, or would you just leave it as it is?
I know that you have Professor Cargill coming on pretty soon, and he's somewhat libertarian. I find myself in my old age becoming more libertarian, with respect at least to being more suspicious, Sam, about the wisdom of our constant intervention to try to solve all of the world's problems. So I would probably ask my defense secretary and my national security team to take a very hard look at what we're doing in Afghanistan.
Does that not mean, though, military people, if you give them the directive, they will do whatever you want. If you say, go win this war, they will figure out how to win the war no matter the cost.
If you ask the military leadership, are we winning the war in Afghanistan, they probably say, no, it's a stalemate. And then if the president were to ask, you write out the directive, what would it take for us to win the war, or at least decisively influence the course of action, what you would get back from the Joint Chiefs of Staff would knock you over in your chair. Because the sheer number of troops that would be required to decisively influence the course of events in Afghanistan is significant.
And that's where we have to leave it. Ty Cobb.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
on
you.
On that happy note.
Thank you always. Really appreciate you being here.
Thank
and
you.
Again, congratulations.
Thank
we'll
you,
right,
Sam.
We'll be right back.
I'm Brad Seidner, and we're keeping the legacy alive here at the Reno Rodeo. Come be a part of the legacy.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
As always, you can download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes.